Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to Lore Watch, a roundtable freeform discussion about lore in the world of Warcraft and maybe other games at some point. Not this week, though. I'm Anne Stickney, one of two lore-focused writers from Blizzard Watch, and I've got both of my wonderful co-hosts here with me today. First up, of course, we've got the other Know Your Lore columnist, Matt Rossi. Say hi, Rossi.
Hi. Do I still exist? Oh, thank God I'm still here.
We're having some fun Skype things today. So
Skype's updates are magnificent.
They're beautiful. So we've also got our other co-host with us today. He's also knowledgeable about lore. It's Joe Perez. Hey, Joe.
Well, hello. And yes, the Skype gods are being fickle today.
It's okay. We'll just cross our fingers and light some incense or something around here. We'll keep everything working. So this week we're going to actually, last time we recorded the show, we talked a lot about the various artifact lore that was revealed with the whole reveal of Legion post-BlizzCon. So much stuff to talk about, right? One of the things that continually popped up throughout that artifact conversation was the Old Gods. And we know that they're going to play some kind of part in Legion as far as that goes, because we've got the resurgence of the Nightmare, as Shara is going to be some kind of factor one way or another. We don't know what exactly. And considering the fact that we've got Titan stuff coming in, it's pretty safe to say that we're going to have Old Gods kind of slipped into that. So we're going to talk about Old Gods Day. Why not? Rossi, go.
Oh, man, put me on the spot. I was just ultimately, you know, the thing about the Old Gods in WoW, at least, is that they sort of perform the ultimate spoiler role in that they don't, you know, they're obviously not big on the whole Titans and the Titan creation of the world of Azeroth, but they don't really like the Legion either, but they're really, really fond of using the Legion to their own advantage. Like, we were talking before the show about the War of the Ancients, and one of the things that we see in the War of the Ancients is that when Sargeras is trying to come through the portal and step bodily onto Azeroth, the Old Gods were the ones who were, like, all set to grab that portal the second it got fully created and use it to get themselves free. Because they're currently, I think, three or four of them stuck inside Azeroth itself.
Maybe even more. Maybe more that we don't know about. Joe, just for people who might not be fully aware, can you give us a brief rundown on what exactly the Old Gods are?
So, that's a complicated question, but I'll try to streamline the answer. They're referred to by many, many names, but they are creatures of the Void that found their way to Azeroth after it was initially seeded by the Titans, and then decided to turn it into their own personal playground, where they took the elementals that were supposed to be doing good stuff and took them as their personal armies and just started waging war all across Azeroth. They are also credited with the creation of the Curse of Flesh, which we've talked about in the past, so there's ties there. And they've also been at least partially credited in the stories or myths of taking down at least one Titan on Azeroth. At least that's what the story says.
Basically, they're up to no good.
The Prophecy of C'Thun in particular, which is one of those messed up things because it's been in the game forever.
Yeah.
When Warcraft itself came out, when the World of Warcraft, the game came out, the Prophecy of C'Thun was out there right around the time that they released AQ. And it basically talks about, you know, at one point in the southern part of, I guess it would have been before the Sundering, so it would have been the southern part of then Kalimdor.
Yeah.
There was a confrontation between a Titan and a god, and it doesn't say what happened to the god, but it says that the Titan fell. And so at some point, a Titan fell in battle with a god. We don't know what they meant by a Titan fell.
With an old god.
Yeah, with an old god. My apologies. I keep leaving old out. So there's a lot of, you know, we've known, a lot of stuff has been revealed since. The thing about the old gods is they've shown up in pretty much every expansion, including BC, although in BC it was very minor.
They had kind of a role there, and was stated about the old gods in the Crusade, that was kind of important.
Yeah, and since then they've basically had a presence in every expansion, but the closest we got to a full-on old gods expansion was Cataclysm, because it was... It was really about Deathwing, but Deathwing was basically taking orders from the old gods back then, so...
He was their dragon-y puppet.
But since then they've just been kind of in Mists they were just kind of a background... It was their fault that bad things were happening, but they weren't directly involved.
That actually kind of seems to be their MO, is making puppets. Deathwing was kind of, I wouldn't call him the first. You could almost argue that the Elemental Lords were the first puppets of the old gods, on Azeroth anyway. And then Deathwing came later. He was corrupted by the whispers of the old gods, and that's when he changed from Neltharion to Deathwing. They sort of turned him against his own kind and turned him against Azeroth itself. But ever since then, it seems like everybody we run across, anybody who's been touched by an old god or is serving an old god, they don't lash out directly themselves. They take control of other things and make those things do it on their behalf because they're imprisoned.
Yeah, even the case of Mists, though, it actually goes beyond that. Mm-hmm. It's actually not even the old gods doing anything. It's just they're so horrible that their legacy has lasted for 10,000 years and is still affecting the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's also not discredit the fact that the Sha were born from an old god.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like the last dying breath of an old god.
Yeah.
But that's my point, though. The Sha are, doing stuff, and the heart of Yashar is doing stuff, and I can't pronounce Yashar to save my life, so hopefully that's Yashiraj. How you pronounce it. Yeah, but all that stuff is acting, but it's not, the old gods are just there. It's one of the purest examples, Mists of Pandaria goes a long way towards the purest examples of what Lovecraft did at his best, in that stuff is happening, but it's not planned.
It's a malignant entity.
Yeah, it's just happening because these things are that horrible. They're that inimical to life and how we go about it, that the events transpire. And it's one of those situations that, we haven't really seen much of them in Warlords. There's been, hints and little clues and so forth, but we haven't actually seen them. They haven't really... I think Warlords has been the most old god-free expansion we've ever had.
But...
Yeah.
I'm going to interrupt here. Did you guys read the tinfoil hat that I wrote last week?
I will admit I'm a little bit behind on my reading.
Okay.
I read it because it was related to the Shadow Priest's revelations.
Okay. Yeah. So the premise that I was going with this particular tinfoil hat, and if you haven't read it on the website, you should go read it for listeners that are paying attention here. The premise that I was going with was the fact that we've got different schools of magic that are really prevalent, and particularly with the artifact weapons, priests are getting kind of a revamp. Shadow priests in particular are getting kind of a revamp, where it's revealed that shadow powers, it's not shadow magic, it's void magic. And that void magic is tied to the old gods. Well, that seemed a little odd to me, because every evidence that we've had of void magic on Draenor has been because of a darkened Naru. It was a Naru that had entered that void cycle. So what I proposed in that tinfoil hat, Joe, was that the old gods themselves are darkened Naru that were hit by the curse of flesh.
Which, it's an interesting thought, too, because nobody knows where the old gods come from, and
we've got no clue about their origin. And just
we just know Void, yeah.
Well, and just because it says, well, these guys were the originators of the Curse of Flesh. Well, maybe they weren't the originators. Maybe they weren't the things that created that.
Maybe
they were
zero.
Just carriers of it, you know?
Well, if there's a weird thing about that, Deathwing could revert the Curse of Flesh. And he gave that ability to one of Alakir's servants.
The Tolvir.
Yeah, when he used his ability to undo the Curse of Flesh on Tolvir, who were serving him, reverting them back to stone. Now, you could argue that he got that from the old gods, but what if the old gods picked him because as an aspect, he's imbued with power by the Titans?
Well, and it makes sense, too, because if you look at who he served, I can never pronounce his name.
Asgaroth.
He gave him dominion over the deep places. What were the races of stone crafted from? The deep places. They were crafted from that. So if you have an aspect who has dominion over that, combine that with the corruption of the old gods, all of a sudden you have a big player that can play both sides of the field and has insight into that sort of mechanic, has insight into that creation. So maybe he didn't necessarily reverse the Curse of Flesh. Maybe he just reordered the matter that was there in the same way that the Titans did in the first place.
The other thing about that, though, is if you think about it, the Mogu learned how to reverse engineer the Curse of Flesh by studying Titan relic.
Here's my
question. Not by studying old god anything.
Right.
And Rodan, go ahead, Ann. Sorry.
Okay, so the Titans fashioned the original dwarves and the Titan Watchers and all those other things from the Earth of Azeroth, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Places. But that's where the old... What if the old that malaise of the old gods was actually it had already been imbued, absorbed, what have you, by the very materials that the Titans then used to create their creations?
Well, and that you
like
raise the, an
like the actual
point there
material
too.
That they were using was flawed from the outset.
Well, you have to also consider that we actually don't know the timing between the old gods approaching essentially Azeroth seedling, I guess we'll call it.
God, I hope they clear this up in
Chronicle. I really hope so. But we don't know.
Hammer down that timeline.
We don't know how long it was when they got there to how long it was till the Titans came back. And in that time frame, you are absolutely right. If they carried with them a contagion, if they carried with them something that was just that infectious, which, I mean, for all accounts and all intents and purposes, yeah, it pretty much is. We've seen it. We've seen the effects of it. Then to the very core of Azeroth, to the very core of the materials that comprise the planet that we are defending across the multiverse, time, space, and everywhere else is inherently flawed as a result of this. It is potentially just so corrupted that it might as well just be considered an old god.
So the other half of that tinfoil hat was a little more Lulu and out there. But one of the things that has always fascinated me has been the Naru and the origins of the Naru and the reason why the Naru are so indifferent to particular aspects of the cosmos, like aspects that you'd think they'd have some kind of vested interest in. They're very dead set against the Burning Legion, but they don't seem to care or note the old gods as being particularly noteworthy, and they don't seem to care or even recognize the fact that the Titans exist as anything noteworthy. Like, they've never given it any mention. Their whole focus has been on the Burning Legion and wiping out the Burning Legion. And since the Burning Legion is headed by a Dark Titan, it's like, well, you would think that they would have some kind of interest in this Titan technology, or that they would care that there's something rotting out Azeroth from within, weakening it so that it can't successfully defeat the Burning Legion. You'd think that they'd have some sort of interest in that. And that's kind of where this theory came from to begin with, where the old gods, because the old gods are Naru, essentially, Naru that were afflicted with the Curse of Flesh, the Naru don't even recognize them as being outside of the cycle. It's just another version of the dark cycle. And they figure that they'll come around eventually. One of the things that I've always wondered is what the Naru are exactly. And we got kind of a clue with the Holy Priest weapon where it said, as beings of the holy light, or as beings of light. That could mean one of two things. It could mean that they're beings that are champions of this light and all of that. Or it could mean that these are beings, these are somehow incorporeal beings that are composed of the light itself. They're just light. They're light given form. That's what they are. If and to me, I always had this theory in my head that the Naru were maybe Titan paladins that had mastered the light to the point where they kind of ascended that corporeal form and became the light themselves? What if it's the other way around? What if the Titans are Naru, light Naru, that were hit with the curse of flesh?
Oh, it would certainly change things.
Joe, did I break you?
No, I'm considering it. Like, because, I mean, we, and this is one of the interesting things that it just kind of spun through my head. The curse of flesh isn't necessarily instant evil making. We've seen that. I mean, we are results of the curse of flesh in many of these cases where the heroes of Azeroth are just, it's just a thing. It's just a reordering of matter. So if you consider it from just a primal force standpoint, sure, that theoretically could be a thing.
See, here's the thing why the only reason that I'm not jumping on this idea, because again, goes back to of all places, Alderaan.
Right.
When you access the discs of Morgannon in Alderaan, they talk about matrix destabilization, which is what they call the process by which the Earthen became trogs and dwarves.
It's another word for the curse of flesh. Yeah.
And they don't seem even remotely like if the Titans were hit by this thing, it wouldn't be part of their processing, where it seems to be entirely the curse of flesh doesn't seem to be a curse of anything. They don't seem to view it. Well, let me get through.
Okay.
They don't seem to view it as something imposed. It's something they designed. They designed the Earthen to do this. Once they were done, here's the thing. Azeroth and the creations on Azeroth are unusual. They don't use rock on every planet. They even say this. They're like, this planet's required hardier, you know, creations. So we used the materials of the deep Earth because of the necessary shaping of this planet required it. They usually use biomatter, and they said this. And they said that, you know, the process, you know, that's the thing that keeps getting me about the Curse of Flesh is the Curse of Flesh doesn't seem to have anything to do with the old gods, but it does seem to have a lot to do with the Titan. It seems to be part and parcel of their creation process. So I could buy the Naru getting hit by the Curse of Flesh and affected by it. I don't think the Titans were, because I think the Titans made it. It seems to be a Titan creation.
We go back to the, at least to me, the analogy of the hardware software thing. So if you, by that analogy or by your line of thinking, then it's already something that was created. It's already something that was there. Sure. Then maybe it's just something that got activated, or maybe there's a catalyst that activated it out of turn.
I don't know. It's one of those weird things. I mean, the problem I have seriously is that the Naru, we've got nothing on them.
Mm-hmm.
As like Anne pointed out, like, and think she's right it's there.
Big blank slate. Now, hear me out. What if the Titans are Naru, just accept this as a possibility for the moment, Naru that have been afflicted by the curse of flesh, but they don't know. Like, they don't know that they are. They don't know that they're carriers of this thing. So they go through trying to put order to the universe and you know, set planets to right and this, that, the other. The old gods come along, try and undo it, because that's part of the cycle. It's order, chaos, right? It's dark. It's light, void. Order, chaos. It's all part of the same cycle. And Sargeras was the one that figured it out. And that's what drove him a little bit crazy. And that's what he's trying to do, is break that cycle. He saw that cycle for what it was and said, wait a minute, this makes no sense, what we're doing. This makes no sense at all. We're just playing out the same universal scheme that's been playing out over and over and over and over again. And when does it end? It doesn't end. This is eternal. What I'm doing is eternal.
It kind of
drove him a little booger. Anyway.
But I mean, but there's one thing that gets me about that, though, is right. That the Naru, not only do they really not necessarily acknowledge the Titans, they also don't acknowledge the old god. It seems that they're essentially fixated on the Legion.
My thing isn't that they don't acknowledge them. My thing is that they're smaller than them.
Well, that's true.
The Naru are simply not nearly as powerful as either the Titans or the old gods, and really, really much less powerful than the Titans. The Titans are not only more powerful, they're just on a much vaster scale. Like, if you told me that the entire race of Naru was one Titan that broke up, I might buy it. Like, that makes sense to me. The idea that, or like maybe say a whole bunch of Naru came together and became
a
Titan.
The shards of the first Titan.
What if?
Yeah. Oh, no.
That kind of thing I could buy. But the Naru themselves are like, very personal and chatty, like, well, very chatty.
You know what? Here's another thing. The Titans have created, and we've seen this. We've seen.
By the way, I'm just going to point out we've gone off the rails.
We've gone off the rails here, and really,
hold on.
I'm
bringing it back. I'm bringing it back. Hold on.
Bring it back. Reel us back into old guys.
So what if? Okay. Let's take into the fact that we know that the Titans have created watchers of, and let's just say time. Let's take the multiverse thing out of it. And let's say that, you know, the Bronze Dragonflight was specifically created as custodians of time. And we know that they have dominion over that. What if the Nauru were a creation of the Titans, not programmed with any knowledge or anything else or sort of acknowledgement of the Titans or the old gods? Because we've seen multiple times that the old gods are... they've been described as more powerful than the Titans. They're not concerned with them. They're not really concerned with anything. But what if they were created as what if they are created as custodians of light, cleaning up the mess of the void that is basically the trail that is left behind by the old gods?
Wait a minute.
So like universal janitors?
Universal janitors almost.
Hold on. The old gods aren't necessarily of the void. You know, do you remember the original, the Tribunal of the Ages?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Titan repository calls the old gods necrophotic symbiotes. Necrophotic is a made-up word, but what it's made of is two Greek words, necro, yes, dead, and photic, light.
Dead, light, void.
Yeah. What if they eat void?
Ooh.
And what is eating void exactly? When the Nauru go into their dark cycle... they become creatures of void. They're not.
And then it circles around.
What if the reason that the Nauru and the old gods don't have any relationship as such is that they are symbiotic? Not necessarily the same race.
But they feed off each other in a weird cyclical way.
Well, I mean, if the Nauru are made of void, if they're made of it, and we've seen void gods, we've seen void lords, we know that the evolved void god, void lord form is very similar to avoid being like Dementius, the old all-devourer, and the void things that we summon as warlocks, those are like smaller versions. What if those are baby Nauru?
Oh, God.
So what if there's this whole range up and down of Nauru beings who cycle through this light and dark phase and in so doing feed these symbiotes? Maybe they're called symbiotes and then they're called parasites. Let's think of them as parasites. What if their existence allows these parasites to bloom and feed? But the parasites aren't anything like them, because why would they be? I mean, if you look at parasites that feed on living things now, a remora isn't a shark. A tick isn't a zeer.
My only issue with that, and again, it all comes down to like connections, because they're drawing some very deliberate connections with the artifact weapons, where they're talking about the light and then they're talking about the void, and how they refer to the light on Azeroth has never really been actually connected to the Nauru in any way. But it's the same thing. You know what
it is, but you know what weapon might explain this? And it's the one we've been ignoring because we think we know it so well?
Ashbringer.
Because
it was a void crystal and they fed it light and it turned into a light crystal.
Yeah. What if I think that really hasn't. And there's the other crystals from, like, you know, there's the one, and this goes back to the origins of the Nauru, the crystal. I can't remember their bloody names. Like Leaf Shadow and all those. The Akamal crystals.
Yeah, the Akamai.
They originally found those on Argus. What if the Nauru are from Argus? Because we know that the Draenei are only the most recent civilization that lived on Argus. And that it saw many civilizations. It saw many Draenei civilizations. And before them, it saw many civilizations. And we don't know anything about the distant past of Argus. What if we're basically looking in the wrong place? Like, maybe Argus is the key to where these things come from. Since
wouldn't
the
that
crystal
make
was
for
on
a great
Argus.
Next expansion?
Yeah, well, I've always, you know, I keep telling the joke that next expansion is Rage of Argus, and people are starting to believe me. And it's like, no, I'm kidding. It's not actually, no one has told me anything. But if you think about it, if you have the old gods as these symbiotes, what if the reason that they're so titanic and powerful and scary on Azeroth is because they've been feeding without anything? If you don't have the Draenei aren't going light dark here. I mean, the Nauru aren't going light dark on Azeroth until recently because they're not here.
Where did they go?
Well, maybe they've never been here. Maybe they just got here. But the only one we know about on this planet is the one that crashed with the Exodar. That's the only Naru on the entirety of Azeroth, unless there's one orbiting in the sky.
Well, isn't there also the quest where the Naru show up to take the in Northrend in Wrath, where they take the soul?
Yeah.
That was Adal.
That was after the Draenei crash landed, so Adal and the others showed up.
Maybe that's why he never came here before. And there's right now we have a Draenei living in the Sunwell. I mean Naru. We have a Naru living in the Sunwell, regenerating himself, and at the same time feeding all the Blood Elves, so he's cured their magic addiction. They're drawing on the light out of him instead of just drawing on any old
and
magic.
It's that symbiotic relationship again.
You've got him doing that. You've got I can't remember the name of the one inside the Exodar. Oros.
Oros, yeah.
Oros is in the Exodar doing pretty much the same kind of deal for the Draenei, except in a more, you know, in a gentler way. Like, they just come and talk to him, and he's like, I will shine on you, and I'm a big wind chime. And then when they got here, suddenly Adal could come to this planet. And we know Adal is the big, big badass of these guys. He is he's the big deal. But any of them can turn into like a powerful void god. We've seen how dangerous those things are. If that whole process, without them there, that's why old gods get like they get.
Which would also potentially explain why the old gods came here in the first place and sort of settled in. So like, if there's no opposition, if there's nothing sort of eating their power, I could buy into that.
See, my only problem with that is that once again, we have this whole connection going on where the Naru are creatures that taught the Draenei how to work light magic.
How did light
Azeroth and light magic, which was learned by Tyr, who was a Titanic watcher. So where did he get it from? Was it a Titan thing? Was it a Naru thing?
Nor'shen has it as well.
Right. Was it a
Nor'shen uses it against a Shaw creature.
Right. So was it
a creation of an old god?
Was it a Titan thing? Was it a Naru thing? And
maybe it transcends them both. Here's the other thing. The void magic doesn't seem to me, based on everything they've said, the void magic isn't created by the old gods. They're just using it. Like there's even a thing when Cho'Gall gets it in Negrand.
Yeah.
He starts talking how the master is coming through the void. And he never says the void is this master's creation. He just says he's coming through the void. What if you were talking about the Naru having light and dark cycles, what happens if a Naru hits void cycle and just keeps going? Because we've seen that they grow. They don't stay little void things.
No, they get absolutely monstrous in size.
What if they keep going?
Like, I mean,
what if you get like an Adal version voided out?
Dementius, even the All-Devouring, who destroyed the planet, what was it?
Karesh.
Yeah.
See, now he wasn't crazy like the old gods, but he was a planet eater.
Yeah.
If you're an old god, you don't want the planet eaten.
No, you just want to play on it.
So there's like all this weird, like, it feels like there's this entire cosmology of like light and dark, which completely opposes order and chaos. And each of these entities plays around on the spectrum. Like Naru feel like beings of pure light. Void entities like the void gods feel like beings of pure dark, pure void. Then you have the Titans, who are up in total pure order, and the old gods in pure chaos. But at some point, are we going to see an old god who can use the light?
Oh, man.
On a cosmic scale, I mean, it makes...
Maybe an old god that can use the light is a Titan.
Maybe.
Or maybe it's somebody that straddles the line between it. Like, if you look at it like the four points of a compass, like, they're all hard balances to each other. Because, I mean, we've been talking about that with Titans and essentially Legion and that whole thing for a while.
You mentioned too, it's interesting, Anne pointed out that the Naru don't seem to care much for the Titans or talk about them.
Oh.
The Titans leave all this stuff behind, and never once do they mention talking wind chime people. Mm-hmm.
No.
Do the Titans not know about the Naru? That seems weird, because the Naru seem
it's
to be...
It's the same magic. It's the light. Yeah. It's the same.
There's an implied connection, but nothing expressly says that it's the exact same harnessing of the light. It's entirely possible that the Titans accidentally stumbled upon this primal source of energy.
Oh, wait a minute. You get a shot. You get a shot if you kill an old god.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
A Titan fell.
Maybe the...
If you kill a Titan, maybe he splits open into a bunch of Naru.
But if the Titan supposedly fell on Azeroth, why wouldn't there have been any Naru in the Naru the, result of that? Why
there was
there any Naru
but they
there?
Left.
We've got the light
there
here.
There was Anshi, and there was a loon.
Well, you knew she was going there.
Of course she was.
But no, seriously though, think about it. Like, what if that is the result? If you can't kill you can't kill an old god because they just corrupt everything with their foul touch, and you get the Sha, who are clearly void related. I mean, those things are just oozing with darkness. What if that's the opposite? And that's why that's why the Naru have the word Sha. The Draenei have the word Sha in their language. It means light, Shatar. That's why, because it's the Naru are Sha. They're just opposite Sha. Does that mean you could get a good Sha? I think we've just gone completely off the rails at this point.
A little bit.
So gone off the rails.
Well, that's
like
part of the fun.
Completely gone off the rails. But
if you had that, if Draenei, if Titans die and they become Naru, and old gods die and they become Sha, and Naru can turn into dark forms and basically become void gods, like. And it comes around to the old order versus chaos, light versus darkness thing. We purified a Sha, and we did it with the light. Mm. So there's like, yeesh, I don't even know.
I
think we broke ourselves.
Yeah, we've gotten so squirreled and turned around in circles. Let's just go back. Let's just go back to the old gods, and let's talk about them, because they're ridiculously intelligent.
Yes.
There is every indication that they are way more clever, way more devious, way more everything than anyone would guess from a giant squiggling tentacle monster covered in mouths.
Well, it's like, I mean, doesn't it always feel like a Xanatos Gambit with them?
A little bit.
We killed C'Thun, and it doesn't seem to have slowed him down any at all.
No.
Like, C'Thun is still...
Well, you can argue we didn't really kill C'Thun. Maybe we killed, like, one little piece of C'Thun.
I don't know.
A lootable chunk.
Well, wasn't C'Thun referred to? There was a quest item that you were supposed to bring. I can't remember it, but it was something you found, and you brought it to the Night Elves of all people because you brought it to them on Kalimdor. But there was a talk about C'Thun was just an avatar. It was an avatar of an old god. Of the old god C'Thun. It wasn't actually the old god. That it was given. Manifest by its worshipers, it was given form by its worshipers. So we, for all we know, you know, we've quote unquote killed C'Thun, and we've killed Mr. Many Mouths. We've killed Yoggles, and maybe we haven't actually killed them. We've just taken out the Avatar Sword, which we've done how many times at this point? Hell, we've killed the Avatar of Sargeras. We didn't actually kill Sargeras, but
Adrian
the Avatar
did it. Yeah,
yeah, but she destroyed the Avatar. So it's not an unprecedented thing. So what if we haven't actually seen a real old god? What if we've only seen their Avatar?
I think even if it's not an Avatar, I think it's very unlikely that they actually die as such. Like, it's funny though, because the Titan seems to have managed it against Yashiraj. I can never say that name.
Yes, Yashiraj. You said it right.
Yeah, but I my brain immediately rejects it. Like, nope, that's wrong. But the Titans apparently killed him and only made things worse.
Right,
which makes me wonder, like, was that part of the plan? Like, did the old god have, every time an old god has died, has that actually been part of the plan? It really seems to be the case for C'Thun. That as soon as C'Thun died, it was like, great, now I can just operate, you know, more, I can operate more openly because nobody's bothering me anymore. And immediately Cho'Gall shows up and starts doing C'Thun's bidding. Because when you fight Cho'Gall in Bastion, he's talking about C'Thun.
Oh, absolutely. Well, in Warcraft comics, he was in on Karaj.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But then that also begs the question then, if we've killed C'Thun and we've killed, you know, Yogg, where are the Sha from them? Where are those manifestations of?
We are.
Well, you know, Yogg seems absolutely thrilled that we're even trying to kill it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, strike with all your anger and your hatred. I sound like the Emperor Palpatine. Come on, let's go. I am the winged female version of Emperor Palpatine. Now kill me already.
Well, and I mean, and then thinking of the Sha are capable of infecting living creatures, right?
Yeah.
So
well,
maybe
they even did it to Terran Zoo, like directly.
So maybe there is something like, maybe C'Thun and maybe Yogg are
go
actually
ahead, kill me
dead.
And just spread the infection further.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
They just take
I love
seat
that
further. Yeah, maybe that's what happened. But I mean,
well, anyway, we should probably at least mention these guys by name. We've got C'Thun, the first old god that we ever like saw playing World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
He was the end boss of Ankaraj. The next one that we saw was Yogg-Saron. We saw Yogg-Saron in Ulduar and again was the end boss. Since then, we've not actually seen another one. We had mentions of N'Zoth, and we fought his minions in Cataclysm.
Yeah.
I think he sent 2 faceless one generals to fight us, and he sent a whole bunch of tentacle monsters. So that was in Cataclysm. So we know N'Zoth exists, and supposedly N'Zoth is related to the Nightmare. So we might see more of N'Zoth coming up. And N'Zoth might be related to what happened with Ashara for that. He might be the old god that picked her. But we don't know much about N'Zoth, just that N'Zoth exists. Finally, there's Yesharaj, and I'm going to keep stumbling on that one, who we've fought its heart. It's supposedly dead.
It was the one that was supposedly slain by the Titans or their Mogu, one or the other.
Yeah. We should also mention, actually, that there's been a slight change in terms of lore, and that we now know that it was Ra'den who created the elemental planes that the elements were banished to.
And that's kind of fascinating.
That implies that the Titans may not have been here that long.
That maybe the Titans weren't the ones fighting that war in the first place.
Yeah, just their servitors. They may have just activated automated... Because the thing is, we know that the Titans love to set up automatic defenses and automatic processes. Yeah. Well, and the whole... I don't know. Every time I keep looking at this, I keep wondering, was Loken the first Prime Designate? You mentioned before the Warcraft Chronicles is coming out.
Yeah.
And I want that to come out because I want to know, was Loken the first Prime Designate? Because if Ra'den was trusted and powerful enough to make the Elemental Planes, why wasn't he Prime Designate?
Good question.
And then we have Odin, who's sitting around in on the Broken Isles.
Maybe
who's apparently
regional
involved.
Prime Designates or something.
Well, they seem to imply that the world had one Prime Designate. And I'm bringing Loken up because he worked for Yogg-Saron. Yogg-Saron corrupted him.
Yeah.
And I find myself wondering, was it Yogg-Saron's plan to get Loken killed in order to bring Algolon here? Or was it Loken's plan?
Well, you wouldn't think that it'd be Yogg-Saron's plan, though, because if Algolon comes into it, means that the planet would be reoriginated.
Well, no, but we've already had it established multiple times that the old gods don't care about the Titans.
Oh, but the planet would be reoriginated, and N'Zoth had already corrupted the Emerald Dream, the template from which theoretically the planet would be reoriginated.
So it would be recreated let's say it's an automated defense. Let's go with that, right? Let's say that Algolon would have triggered an automatic system restore of the world. And it goes back to that master template. It goes back and it looks into the Emerald Dream. It looks into its backup and it just pulls that data. It's just set to automatically do it. It doesn't verify, it doesn't validate, it doesn't look for that. And all of a sudden, the world is completely reordered in the vision of the old gods. It is turned into their perfect playground, their perfect vision of what they wanted. Because of all that corruption taking root, and because they've rewritten the master template.
Oh, that's creepy.
Plus, we know they don't die. You know, if they don't die, even when a Titan tries to kill them, maybe they're pretty confident that they can survive reorigination.
Maybe they know for a fact. Maybe they have infected everything so much, and they know they have. Because if you look at it, there are ancient texts for basically any of the races of Azeroth. Torin have one when you go to I believe it's the Vision Caverns. There's scrolls that you can read down there that talk about the whisperings from the very dawn of their existence. Their people heard the whisperings. There's talk about that in pretty much every race. So if the old gods were, let's say, weaker back then, before any wars or before anything like that, or they were just recently defeated and imprisoned, yet they still were able to reach out to pretty much every sentient creature on Azeroth, sometimes taking hold, sometimes not. But that belies the fact that they've spread throughout the entire sort of matrix of existence of the planet. I bet you they guarantee that, you know, you reorder it, they just come back stronger, or they just take new bodies, or
for that matter, it might be, they were willing to blow Azeroth up entirely with the portal Sargeras was making. Mm-hmm. To get out. They might not even be caring, they might not even be looking to create a new Azeroth because it would give them a playground. They might just want to blow it up. Yeah, blow it up. Go ahead. We'll live through it, and then we'll be out.
Because and then we could just go infect other planets. That would be great.
Ian mentioned BC, and in BC, Harbinger Skyrus and the Arcatraz, who is, by the way, imprisoned by the Naru.
Yeah.
So that's the case of the Naru.
There's another
imprisoning.
Yeah.
Naru directly imprisoning an old god servant. When he gets out, the first thing he says is, "No force in the universe possesses the power to make us bend our knee, not even the mighty Legion. We are numerous, as countless as the stars." So what does he mean by that?
Let's go ahead and reel it back in here just a little bit, because we're nearing the end, and maybe we should focus on the Legion stuff in particular. Let's talk about N'Zoth. N'Zoth, theoretically, he lives somewhere underneath Azeroth's oceans. It was implied in Stormrage that that's where this creature that infected the Emerald Dream existed. And I believe it was Metzen at one of the conventions. At
BlizzCon 2010.
Yeah, one of the
BlizzCon. At the lore panel.
He said that the old god responsible for the Emerald Nightmare was N'Zoth.
And that he was that he might actually be responsible for the Faceless Ones as well.
Right, but here's the other thing. Because he's in the ocean, it's possible that this is also the guy that was responsible for the Naga.
Oh, Anne. Mm-hmm. And in the puzzle box of Yogg-Saron, one of the things it says is, at the bottom of the ocean, even light must die.
Yeah.
And later on, even death may die.
Yeah.
Also, I would like it noted that the puzzle box of Yogg-Saron also had another quote.
You got to talk about Nyarlathotha?
No, I was going to talk about the, have you had the dream again? A black goat with seven eyes that watches from the outside. If you looked at the character model for Xavius, he's a black goat with seven eyes.
Is he? Does he have seven eyes now?
He's got two big eyes, and he's got a bunch of little ones with one at the top of his forehead.
Oh, dude. Okay.
At least from what I saw, which I just saw that quote, and I'm like, no way. And I went to go look at Xavius, and I'm like, oh, well, he's a black goat. That makes sense.
Well, I don't know if they count his eyes, but he definitely has weird projections going on his forehead. I'm looking at the picture now.
And then there's also one of the other things that it says in...
It also talks about the Drowned God's heart, which we know was the... We can make the assumption is the heart of Yashraj.
But wait, hold up. The giant rook watches from the dead trees. Nothing breathes beneath his shadow.
Black Rookhold.
We're working with Black Rookhold. Okay,
hey,
so
Black Rookhold has that map in it too.
Yeah, it has a map of Resundering Kalimdor.
Then there's the void. The void sucks at your soul. It is content to feast slowly, tying the old gods back to the void again.
There is no sharpness, the real and the unreal. Wow.
And in the Sunken City, he lays dreaming. So if N'Zoth is responsible for the nightmare and...
Yeah. In the sleeping city of Nyarlathotha, only mad things walk. Nyarlathotha is a city of old, terrible, unnumbered crimes. And finally, in the land of Nyarlathotha, there is only sleep.
That's really kind of... interesting, to say the least.
Yeah.
So the puzzle box of Yogg-Saron might actually...
Seems like it will play into N'Zoth to some degree.
It seems like they kind of took it into consideration while they were working on Legion, or I don't know. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. Maybe it's all a giant coincidence, but that's pretty creepy. So yeah, N'Zoth, there's every indication that N'Zoth was actually the old god that originally transformed Ashara. When at the end of the War of the Ancients, the world splintered, Kalimdor sundered into the continents that we know today, and Ashara's palace sank into the sea. And as it was sinking into the sea, someone decided to speak to Ashara and promise her all the power in the world, and it transformed her and her remaining faithful servants into the Naga.
There are also really a lot of tentacles and tails, which look like faceless ones to me.
Well, and the thing is we've got like this whole, the old gods themselves, when I say they're clever, it's like they have this plan that they've been working on all along. They worked on it with Deathwing, and were the old gods working together? Are they working in concert? Because it seems like each one of them, even though they're individual creepy tentacled things, are all working towards the same purpose and not necessarily working hand in hand with each other, but what Khazune is doing happens to help what Yogg-Saron is doing. What Yogg-Saron is doing happens to help what N'Zoth is doing. And even Yashraj, what he's doing is kind of in a way helping the others indirectly. Because Yashraj, I mean, that whole mess that happened with the Shah resulted in the Emperor of Pandaria kind of pulling Pandaria away. The whole War of the Ancients resulted in the Emperor in Xiao Hao pulling Pandaria away and enshrouding it in mist so that nobody could get to it. It didn't have any contact with the outside world, and the outside world had no contact with it. So Ra'dan, all his powers, everything else was all isolated.
Well, and then you think about it too, like there's two things. We don't know necessarily that the quote unquote war between the old gods was actually a war. It could have just been boredom between eternal creatures. Like it's kind of a trope. It's kind of one of those things where we've seen it in other things. So they could have just been really bored and be like, hey, this is a great playground. Well, you know what? These things look fun. Let's make them fight. And then there's nothing that says with the way that they were able to talk to pretty much every living race on Azeroth, who says they couldn't talk to each other?
They're playing a cosmic game of foosball with each other.
Or maybe once they got in prison, there's nothing to say that they didn't, even if they were legitimately fighting to begin with, they're in prison. There's nothing that says, you know what, we could probably work together and figure this out and get out of here and have our way again. But we just need to like kind of work together a little bit. And that's why the puzzle box of Yogg-Saron has things that refer to Nazoth. Like, what if everything is like one big cookie that leads to another old god? And everything's designed to release them or spring them.
Well, you've got Nazoth, who was working with the Emerald Nightmare, which was directly affecting Ysera. You've got Yogg-Saron, who was doing all of his mess up in Northrend, which was also conveniently where Malygos happened to go to. And who knows, Malygos may have been affected by Yogg-Saron more than we actually
do. And
he
was trying to pull all the ley lines back up to Northrend, which that's a whole lot of power to put somewhere really close to an old god.
Yeah, and then you've got C'Thun, and C'Thun was working
wait a minute here.
Okay.
Give
it to us.
If we're talking pre-Sundering.
Yes.
C'Thun is in the south, specifically the south of Kalimdor. So right next to where Yash'Raj was, they're very close to each other, because Kalimdor and Pandaria would have been relatively close. The ley line nexus created when Karazhan was created by that scythe, it's also in the south. It's right next to the, it's like right next to Zul'Gurub, because that's where Karazhan is, right next to Zul'Gurub. It's right there.
Right.
And so if you imagine them all together again, like the map in Black Rock Hold, there's this old god concentration in the south and a ley line nexus right there.
Ew. What were they doing?
And the thing is that we know that there were Titan facilities all over that area.
Yeah.
Because there's the Titan facilities in Pandaria itself. Then there's the Titan facilities in Kalimdor itself, modern Kalimdor, including two, not just one, but two Petri dishes. There's Un'Goro Crater, and there's the
Sholazar.
Sholazar's north. I'm talking the south. Pandaria has one.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So Pandaria's got the Veil of Eternal Blossom, which is another supposed Titan facility, Titan Petri dish, Titan testing facility. Then you've got the stuff up north where all the other Titan facilities. And we now know that when they were conjoined, the Broken Isles and, you know, modern day, you know, Eastern Kingdoms, especially like what's now Terrasfall and Uldumon, would have been close to the stuff in Northrend. So Titans ringed the continent with facilities. Mm. They had facilities in the north and the south, and they're where the old gods were. And we know there's something old god going on underneath Terrasfall, and we're going to finally get to see what it was. But we know
the whole Cuthraxi thing.
The whole Cuthraxi thing. What's Cuthraxi?
Is Cuthrax another old god?
Or is it like a servitor of C'Thun?
Good question. Okay, so we should probably wrap it up because we're actually reaching the 1 hour mark here, unfortunately. Yeah. I don't know what we're going to see in Legion. I know we're going to see probably more about Nazoth than we've ever seen before, because we are going to be going into the Emerald Nightmare and confronting that directly. And we might actually see more about the other old gods as well. There's no real way to tell. I'm still looking really forward to World of Warcraft Chronicle Volume 1, because there's every indication that we're going to get more information about the old gods. I'm kind of hoping that we'll get more information about the Naru as well, and the Titans, and whatever crazy connection happens to be connecting them all. Because I still feel like there has to be some kind of a connection between these guys. I don't know what it is, but we'll figure it out. So yeah, final thoughts. Joe?
I am eagerly awaiting origins, like just stories of origin, because every harebrained theory we have, every thread that we're pulling on has a root somewhere. and I want to know where that route is. And that's what I'm looking forward to. And I think Legion's going to give us some of those routes. And I think that some of the publications surrounding Legion are going to give us some of those routes. And I cannot wait. This has made me more excited for that than anything else.
Rossi?
If Legion is the second part of a three-part thing that they've been talking about doing forever...
What's part three?
Yeah, what follows this? What follows the big Legion invasion? And why do I get the feeling that there's going to be a point... Like, we were talking the other day about this, about possible endgame.
Yeah.
Like, with the last boss of this expansion. I'm starting to think it's not going to be a Legion boss at all.
Maybe not.
No.
What if, at the end of this... As the, you know, what happens when you build a huge portal and start letting the Legion through an Azeroth? The old gods take notice.
They get very interested suddenly in what you're doing. And the fact that we're hunting down pillars of creation, these Titan relics, that might also draw their interest as well. And we've also got Ezshara, who's kind of an unknown element at this point. We know that her influence is going to be there, whether she herself is going to be there or not. We don't know yet.
Yeah, she's got Neptolon.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a big deal, and hasn't been dealt with at all.
Big deal.
That's my thing.
Okay, well, Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/blizzardwatch, and your continued support means that this podcast site and community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcasts, a better chance at having your questions answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ads-free site experience. So we're going to go ahead and wrap it up this time, and then next time, I don't know what we're going to talk about next time. I kind of want to talk about Gilneas and the whole, like,
history
of the humans in general and as related to the Vrykul, because they're really interesting.
We just got a whole bunch more stuff on that.
I know, right? If that interests you guys, maybe we'll go ahead and discuss that next time. But that has been the show. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we will see you next time.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.